You're listening to Sion Radio with me, Andrew David. As ever, trying to keep the needles moving by inviting guests to join us using the wonderful magic that is Zoom. Got a press release into my inbox, which just made me sit up and take notice. And it started with a bold assertion that 62% of parents believe lack of play dates due to lockdown is having a detrimental effect on their child's happiness. Just had to get behind this. And Dr. Amanda Gummer joins us. Amanda, thank you for sparing time for us here on Sion Radio. You're a child psychologist, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I'm founder of the Good Play Guide, and I'm working with Nick Jr. On this research for Blues Clues and You. So yeah, no, it's some fascinating stuff.
Well, also horrifying, I'd have thought, because really looking at preschool children, one of the best ways that they learn, they interact, they socialise is by playing, and playing not just in the family, but with other people.
Yeah, and playing with other children of similar ages teaches children an awful lot of skills. Compromise, negotiation, fairness, empathy, communication skills, all of that sort of stuff is so important. Problem solving, you know, when you've got a grown-up there, if there's a problem, you just hand it up to the grown-up and ask them to fix it. Whereas when you're playing with your friends, if there's a problem, you've got to, you work together and you fix it. It's that teamwork, that collaboration, all really important skills that we do need our children to develop.
So were you surprised when you found, I mean, these figures are big and are quite alarming, aren't they? Were you surprised by the research?
I was surprised by just how many people were worried about their pet, about their children. But then I sort of took a step back and I get where they're coming from. I think what I would like to do is help parents understand that they don't necessarily need to be quite so worried, because these sort of things happen and children bounce back. Children are incredibly resilient. And actually, there are still quite a lot of things that we can do at home with our children to help them keep up with their sort of social skills, their development and everything. I think the most worrying stat for me was the number of parents that had noticed some form of regression in their children. And I think that's the bit that probably as a parent is most concerning. You don't want to feel like your children are sort of taking backward steps when they are in lockdown and because they're not able to see their friends. So
what sort of form does that regression take?
The parents that we spoke to noticed the increase in tantrums, some trouble sleeping, increased fussiness with food, those kind of things, increased clinginess. And I think part of that is normal development, because it's quite easy when there's something like this going on, you know, there's a pandemic, to pin everything on it. It's like, you know, when parents are splitting up, every little issue with the child, do you think, oh, is that because of the divorce, or is that because of the bereavement or the house move or whatever it is that's upset the kids? So I think it's important to not over attribute issues that are perfectly normal to the pandemic. So kids will go through clingy phases, they will have tantrums, and that comes and goes, and most of the time they grow out of it pretty quickly. But things where children have sort of regressed back and playing with toys that you thought they'd grown out of, that kind of thing. Ah. Again, that's how they cope with unsettlement and uncertainty. So I think that, again, it's normal, it can be understood, and then if it's supported and dealt with in the right way, when things open up again and children are able to play with their friends, they will catch up pretty quickly.
Of course, the thing with the first lockdown was that it started in spring as we moved into summer, and therefore you could go out a lot more, even just simply into a garden if you've got a garden or a park, if that was possible. We're heading into the darkest months, the coldest months of the year, and you are all locked indoors. And as the family develops, stays in, comes in for the holiday, the tensions can grow, can't they?
Yeah, and that's one of the things I hope parents can manage, to keep the adult tensions around, you know, and we've got a lot going on our plate, haven't we? You know, job security, health of loved ones, you know, general infections and the pandemic in its round. There's a lot of adult concerns, but I think where possible, if we can keep those in the adult world and make sure that certainly young children are just able to enjoy being kids. So they're very immediate. They care about what's happening today. They want to know what they're having for dinner. They want to know whether they can watch television. They want to know if you'll play a game with them. They want to know what's going on here and now. So keeping that very sort of current, immediate environment relaxed, happy, safe, and playful, I think is one of the best ways we can help the children get through this without any long-term, too many long-term negative impacts.
It's interesting looking at the way we run our family lives now compared, I mean, I grew up in the 1950s, and so my social interaction was with people in the street. There were no play groups then. And it's interesting that we're sort of having to relearn how to make the most of growing up in difficult circumstances by maybe talking to our grandparents and saying, well, you know, how did you cope when you had children to bring up? Is that an option?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the amount of socialisation, even outside, is restricted at the moment. But if children are going to school and playing in this playgrounds and everything, being able to go back to a bit of basics, I think, is no bad thing. And that active, social, imaginative outdoor play is the superfood of the play diet. So the more we can do that, the better. And when the opportunity comes to get children outside playing, then, yeah, seize it with both hands.
I love that expression, the superfood of the play
diet. Yeah.
Wonderful. Now, I think that sort of thing will hook in. I've just come back from a drive and I drove past one of our local junior schools, and it was lovely to see the kids out there with their coats on, doing hopscotch and all those things that are marked out on a play. Just simple things, or just sitting together on a bench and chattering away. And that's what you're talking about, you know, those things which bring them together in the simple ways, which just keep reinforcing the fact that things are okay.
Yeah, and I think it's those opportunities for children to connect like that. And if you can't do it, you know, in person, we're lucky to be living in a virtual age where you can do a lot of things over the internet. So even, you know, as much as going to school and seeing your friends and being able to play with them is absolutely what we're aiming for, in the meantime, connections over Zoom or Skype or video conferencing of choice is still powerful, and it still allows that connection, and actually really powerful for keeping kids connected with their grandparents, who, you know, are obviously the most likely people that they're not going to be able to see in person. And things like story times or board games that you can play across the internet, those kind of things can be really, really powerful. And that's, for me, is a really nice marrying of modern technology with some simple old-fashioned play patterns.
Looking at where this research was done, I'm assuming that it must have been done across all sorts of different places. I'm just now visualising, in Lincoln we've got a couple of high-rise, high-density flats. What if you're a single parent and you're on the 13th floor and there is this huge lock-in effect going on? How can you cope with a child exhibiting problems in that sort of circumstance?
Yeah, that's got to be one of the most challenging situations this year. I think if you're a single parent of young children in a place with no outdoor space, it must be incredibly hard. And my advice is, get whatever support you can have. Make the most of being outside. You know, get the kids wrapped up outside get to your local park or whatever it is, and just give them that opportunity to get a change of scenery, connect with nature, and get some energy out. And then I'd say use social media and video conferencing and stuff to try and get as much support as you can from friends and family. And then I think the other thing is to just give yourself a break. Don't have too many expectations of how much learning the kids will have done, or whether, you know, whether they're keeping up with their schoolwork or not. I think, you know, when you're under that much kind of pressure and strain and stress, I think getting through this with everybody being, you know, as well as they can be, and just trying to make it as playful and as fun, and trying to enjoy the bits that you can enjoy, and, you know, that kind of thing, just giving yourself a break and being kind to yourself and letting the kids and know that it's okay to worry or to have off days, and validate those emotions, I think really helps children develop that model of coping. Because if they see you struggling and see you coping and then see how you do that, that's a really good blueprint for them.
Yeah. One of the things, ending on a positive note, is that 79% of parents found that doing more Christmas arts, crafts and activities with their children actually helped. Getting mucky and spreading sprinkle all over glued up paper to make a card for granny, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and that is something that if the downside of the COVID crisis is that you've been stuck inside with your children, the upside is you are spending more time with them, and that gives you a chance to get to know them better, the communication, and getting them involved in arts and crafts or everyday activities like, you know, making dinner or even doing the laundry and cleaning the house. Those kind of activities where you're doing stuff together really gives you that connection with your kids and that opportunity to communicate, really understand what's going on in their minds, really talk to them about your values, your ideas, and it can be a really strengthening time for families if we can minimise the sort of the friction points.
And especially around about Christmas and New Year, friction points come up nor in normal times, in COVID times, who knows? But Amanda, what you've been stressing over the last couple of minutes is, you know, keep it simple and keep it upbeat and just do what you feel is as much as you can do. Don't try and overpromise and don't try and overdeliver.
Yeah, and I think parents need all the support they can get in this tricky time. And one of the nice things is that Nick Jr. have put together some advice on tips and play ideas to entertain the kids. So for parents who are struggling, if they head over to nickjr.co.uk and /let's play, they'll get some ideas of things maybe they've not thought of to just make it that bit more fun and special this Christmas.
Dr. Amanda Gummer, thank you so much indeed for joining us here on Siren Radio.
Thank you for having me.